Here we go. I want you to turn to John chapter 14. You ready to be challenged today? This thing, I think, is going to challenge us. We've been on a series, and this series is called Mountain Move. And so we are supposed to be mountain movers. We are supposed to be able to look at obstacles and things that exalt themselves against the name of God. And we're supposed to look at those things and tell them to move. And that's what we've been working on. And this is very similar to telling a mountain to move. Today, the Word of God says this, that your prayers are supposed to be answered. And they're supposed to be answered yes. Did you know that? Did you know that? That when you pray, the answer is supposed to be yes. And so you're supposed to live under this reality that when you pray, God's going to do what you ask Him to do. Did you just hear what I said? When you pray, Scripture says that God will do what you ask Him to do. I'm going to have to show that to you in the Bible, because I bet some of y'all getting ready to walk out, you're like, that guy's preaching heresy, you know, or something. I never heard anything like it. And before I even read the Scripture, I want to tell you something that's been going on in the church culture that I believe is changing. And I believe it is when we fearlessly look at the Word of God and say, you know what, that thing makes me scratch my head, but if He said it, I'm going to believe it. But this thing has been going on for many years within the Christian community throughout at least this nation, and that it is somehow we've been taught to embrace failure. You ever thought about that? In the Christian life, we've been taught to embrace failure. It's like once you become a Christian, we kind of want to prepare everybody. It's like you want to sit them down. You want to put your hand over their shoulders and say, it's going to get real tough from here. You know? And we prepare them for like bad stuff. And we prepare them. We're like, you know, the pinnacle of the Christian life is you're going to pray for stuff and nothing's ever going to change. And yet somehow you're supposed to remain steadfast and immovable and faithful in the midst of it. And that is like the great measure of faith. I'm like, that's the great measure of bull hockey right there. It's what that is. Yeah. And so we live with this thing where we want to kind of tamper down people's expectations. Don't get their expectations too high. Don't get their hopes up. And I've told you this before. One of the most powerful things in a Christian's life is hope. It is one of the most powerful things that you have in your life, is that there is this hope that God is good and that He will do what He says He will do. You'll even hear this. Well, you know, Paul, he prayed for something three times and he didn't get it. So if Paul doesn't get it, I don't know why we should expect us to get it. You ever heard that one? Every time I've ever preached a message like this, someone always wants to tell me about Paul not getting his prayers answered. I'm like, there's an entire book about people who do get their prayers answered. There is one place where one man prayed one time and he didn't get his prayer answered, and you've created an entire theology around it. What about the rest of the book, where people were getting their prayers answered? And Paul, who was getting his prayers answered, and who was known as a powerful man of God. It's amazing. All you have to do is just get something started. Really, that's all you got to do. You just got to get people started saying it. And before long, we'll just not even question it. And we'll just believe, you know what? It's not uncommon for us not to get our prayers answered. It's just the way things are. Well, it's not the way things are. Look at John chapter 14, verse 13. Whatever, this is Jesus. He is in His last days. He is moving toward the cross. He's talking about when He's going to die. He's talking about when He's going to be resurrected back to life. And He's giving them some last minute instructions. And in verse 13, He says, whatever you ask in My name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You see that? Whatever you ask in My name, that will I do. And then in chapter 16, verse 23 and 24, in that day, you will not question Me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in My name, He will give it to you. That's why if you ever wondered why when people close their prayers at the end of a prayer, you hear so many people say, in Jesus' name, amen. Why is it that people are closing prayer saying, in Jesus' name, amen? Because they're coming from the reality of what Jesus said. If you ask the Father for anything in my name, based on my authority, who I am, he will give it to you. Then he goes on. He said, until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive so that your joy may be made full. Now, why is he telling them these things? It's because they've been walking with him. These disciples, these 12 men and other followers, they have been walking with Jesus. And if they needed something, they just walked up to him and asked him for it. And there was this dialogue. It was face to face. And he's preparing them for a moment when he's going to leave them. And so he's going to die, he says, and he's going to be resurrected, and he's going to return to the Father. And the question on their mind is going to be, what do we do now? Because he's not here. And what Jesus was preparing them for is, he said, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. He is going to live in you. And then that way, you don't have to worry about whether or not the conversation is ever going to end. It's not going to. There's going to be a forever enduring conversation with me because of the Holy Spirit living inside of you. So that you just ask in my name, and the Father's going to do it for you. That's mentioned 6 times in 2 chapters. Just in case there's anybody that would say, well, that man was cherry-picking Scripture. You know, he found one verse, and he cherry-picked it, and he preached an entire message on it. It is found 6 times in 2 chapters. It is found 10 times in the Gospels. If you ask in the name of Jesus, the Father will do it. Okay? Now, what does that look like? I love to imagine what is going on in Scripture. So as a point of just study reference for you, let me tell you how I'll read Scripture. Whatever it is, if there is a scene in the Bible and Jesus is feeding the 5,000, I'm imagining in my mind what that looks like. And so I'm using my imagination to look and try to get the feel for what is going on so that I want to get every little bit of it. And so I'm imagining what's going on. When there are promises in the Bible, I try to imagine what happens if those promises come true. So, I got a good exercise for us today. We're going to imagine that this Scripture is true of you. We're going to imagine right now. Now, I can't do it for you, so you're going to have to do it. We're going to imagine that right now, for the next few months, everything that you ask the Father for in Jesus' name, the Father does it. Over the next couple of months, it's miraculous. Just when you ask, the Father responds. Over the next couple of months, I don't think we're going to need a couple of months for me to make my point on this thing. I think I can make it pretty fast. But just imagine, over the course of a few months, what that thing starts looking like. So let's just say that for the first little bit, we think, okay, we don't want to take this thing too far, so we're going to keep this thing real spiritual. And so I'm going to ask for a couple of things that I think are really spiritual. I got some sicknesses. I'm going to pray for those. I got some people in my family that I want to get saved. I'm going to pray for those. I got some situations that I want reconciled. I'm going to pray for those. The real good spiritual stuff, right? We're going to start there, okay? But then that stuff starts happening. And all of a sudden, you're like, whoa, I never dreamed that guy was going to come to church. That's amazing. This thing's powerful. And then all of a sudden, you know what happens, right? Because Satan hasn't disappeared. I didn't tell you that Satan disappeared in the story. He's still around. And so Satan comes to you and goes, this thing is like a blank check. You should start writing something. Yeah. And so before long, you just start thinking, oh, you know what? I got this guy at work. I don't really like him very much. I think I might mess him up a little bit, you know? And it's like, uh-oh. All of a sudden, you see what happens? Because now you know that you can kind of do whatever you want to do, and so you start thinking, what are the limits to this thing, you know? And so all of a sudden, crazy stuff starts coming to your mind, right? Stuff you never thought about before. You think about doing them. I don't know if y'all ever watched this. I've debated about whether or not I should bring this up because I have not. I watched the movie. I'll go on and confess it, okay? I watched it. I haven't watched it in a really long time. There could be some bad parts in it. If so, I'm not telling you to go home and rent this movie, okay? In fact, I'm not even going to tell you the name of the movie, all right? But there is a movie that was produced years ago. And in this movie, rather than the person being able to get all their prayers answered, the person actually got to take the place of God for a little while. Some of you may be familiar with that. You remember that? Yeah. That's what happens when all of a sudden you start to realize that God is starting to answer prayers. If you remember that movie, the next thing you know, rather than this guy actually training his dog how to do business, you know, do his little doggy business, he actually just kind of says the word, and all of a sudden you see the dog's got his leg crossed on the toilet reading the paper. You remember that? And some people try to beat him up, and all of a sudden he sends some hornets after him, you know, and they chase him off. And so he starts getting reckless with what he does, because what's happening is it hasn't changed him. It's just revealing who he really is. Do you see that? The power that he has hasn't changed him into somebody different. It's just revealed the person that he's always been. And so all these things begin to come out. And so in this one thing, he's able to hear these voices of people praying. And he doesn't want to take the time to answer all their prayers, and so he just figures out, I'll just answer them all yes. You ever thought about that? If God just answered everything yes, what would happen? In this case, he sets up this thing. Instead of Yahoo, it's Yahweh. And people send him emails. And he just starts typing yes, but then there's so many people praying about so many things, he can't even keep up. There's like a million. And he's only praying for the people in Buffalo. God said, you can't handle everybody in the world like I do. I'm just going to give you Buffalo. And so there's millions of prayers coming in. He's like, oh, I don't know what to do. I'll just answer them yes. And so he just starts answering yes. You ever thought about what would happen if God started answering everything yes? The lottery comes due. Everybody who bought a lottery ticket has prayed to win the lottery, right? So what happens? Everybody wins the lottery. Everybody gets $17 and change. Because he's not smart enough to think about what happens when you become God. He's not smart enough to know what happens when prayers get answered. And so he's foolish. And now come back to you for just a minute. You got somebody, you want to pray for them, and so you pray and they begin to, they get healed. And then all of a sudden, what happens? You got more friends than you ever knew what to do with, right? You ever wonder why there were so many people gathered around Jesus? Why he drew such a crowd? It's because they wanted what he had. He had the power of God, and they were drawing on him. They wanted stuff. Could you imagine if that happened to you? You know, you were just innocently walking out to Chester County Hospital to heal one of your relatives. But it's not that easy, because once you heal one of your relatives, then the question is, am I going to clear the whole place out? And then what happens when Maddie goes over and clears out Chester Hospital? Maddie, you got more friends tomorrow than you know what to do with. Yeah? And all of a sudden, you got fame and fortune like you've never had before. And tomorrow, Channel 9 is sitting there with their little truck. Y'all notice the news, they've been all over town, right? Now they'll be over at Maddie's house. You know, because Maddie cleared out the hospital. Maddie's praying and things are happening. And so the news is there, and can you handle what happens next? Can you handle the fact that some people love you to death, and then other people, they're going to start talking bad about you. And they're going to start talking about how you're a fake and how you're a charlatan. You see, I don't think we've ever really thought about the absolute power of prayer. We always think about it in terms of not getting our prayers answered. But I'm telling you, you can learn a lot about yourself if you would just imagine for a moment what would happen if every time you prayed, God heard your prayers. What would life be like in your world? Y'all are thinking, aren't you? It gets you thinking about yourself. And so I've got some questions that I think we ought to think about. Do I know what is good? Before I start to pray for something now, from this point on, do I know what is good? Do I know what is right and how to pray? Do I have wisdom in how to pray? Look at Matthew chapter 7. More scripture about Jesus saying, ask and it'll happen. I'm in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? And so it says that God gives good gifts. And so when God is answering prayers, he's going to answer them in a good way with a good gift. And so many times we have not even thought to consider what is truly good. This person that you're thinking about, what is truly good for them? In your own personal life, what is truly good? And a lot of times it's hard to tell, is it not? There's an old, I think it's like a Chinese proverb or something, where different things happen and this old farmer looks at everybody and he says, "How do you know it's good?" And then something else happens and he says, and everybody thinks it's bad, and he says, well, how do you know it's bad? And then he moves on, well, how do you know it's good? And he just keeps going back and forth, because when things happen, it is often difficult to know exactly what is good and what is next. And so we have to begin doing a better job before we ever start to pray to say, God, I need some wisdom here. And rather than just me tell you what I think you ought to do, God, could you give me a glimpse of what is good? Could you give me a glimpse of what is right for that person? And then this next question. Do I know the heart of God and His kingdom? You see, Jesus said, I do what I see the Father do. And He said, I speak what I hear the Father saying. And then when they asked Him, how do I pray? He said, pray this. Pray your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what is Jesus doing? Jesus is saying, I'm just doing what I see the Father doing. Now that is important, because knowing the heart of the Father is central to this. So let me tell you about my pop. That's my dad, by the way. All right? And I'm going to use him and not my mother, because it's a good correlation when you're talking about dad and him for you to think about God. Which, fellas, can I have your ear for just a minute? That's why it is so important for us. It's so important for us to stay before God. Because do you know that our kids get most of what they know about God from what they know about us? And I can tell you that it's never too late. Even if you're old and you say, I'm old, my kids are grown, and I just wasn't that example. It is never too late to go back to them and say, you know what, I messed up in a big way. And I probably can't change most of what I've done. But what I can tell you is that I love you, and I'm going to try to do from this day forward the very best I can to live for God. And you know what they'll do? In most cases, they'll honor you for that. And if they don't even respect it right away, they'll respect it over time. And so I'm going to use my dad, and I want to talk to you about getting your prayers answered. Because I can tell you this, I bet you I can go to my dad, and I can get just about whatever I want. Do you know that? I can get just about whatever I want. Now you're saying, now wait a minute. No, now you wait a minute. Because you don't know our relationship. And you might be thinking that I'd go to him and just try to get anything I want out of him, and that I would abuse that relationship. And I would tell you that you don't know me and my dad. And that I would not go to him and abuse anything. That when I ask out of a relationship with him. And I bet you I can get just about whatever I want because I know him. And I know what to ask for and what not to ask for. There's some things I'm not going to waste my time asking him for because I know he's not going to get involved in it. You know? But there are a whole list of things that I know that he will do. So if I was to call him up and say, Dad, I need some help, I guarantee you he would drop everything to come and do whatever it is that I needed to be done. Now, if I said, Dad, I got tickets and there's 10,000 people going to be in this little packed room with this concert, with these folks playing, would you go with me? He'd be like, son, you know I don't like being in a crowd full of people. Nope. And so I know where he wants to be and where he doesn't want to be. I can tell you, if you want to take him out to eat, I can tell you where you can go. I can tell you where you shouldn't go. I can almost bank on the fact that a good 90% of the time, when I ask him to do something, I'm going to get what I ask for. More often than not, I am going to get what I ask for. And it is not because I'm abusive in acting. It is actually because we have this relationship where I actually know ahead of time what his heart is and what he's going to do. And I also know that his heart is for me. Do you know how we developed that relationship? It's because we lived in Blackstock, 15 minutes from everything. Okay? So you had to drive 15 minutes to get to anything. So it was 15 minutes to school. It was 15 minutes home. And in those 15 minutes, me and my dad talked. Sometimes me and my dad didn't say a word. We just rode together and just enjoyed each other's company. And then when I got old enough, I'd start working for him, and he owned a television shop. And so it was my pleasure to walk with my dad into a room, and my dad would turn a television around, and he'd sit down, and his toolbox weighed about 600 pounds. So I couldn't lift it, but once he set it on the floor, I could take the top off of it and look inside. And so he would carry that big old monster thing in, and he'd set it down. And he turned that TV around, and I'd look at that TV, and I'd see what kind of screw it had. Did it have a quarter-inch nut driver? Did it have a Phillips? Was it a flat blade? And I would grab for the tool ahead of him I love doing that. It was like, could I get it before he even asked? Because I just knew what he needed, you know? And so the trick for me was always waiting and watching him and watching where he's putting his hands and watching what he's doing. And then trying to figure out what's his next move. And it was, you know, when they do on those television shows where they're like, scalpel, and somebody goes, and then they do this, and it's like, I don't even know the names of anything else. That's the only one I know. Another scalpel. You know, we were even better than that because we didn't even talk when we went into houses. We had been doing it for so long, and I wasn't but about 8, okay? I'd been doing it since I was 5. And so literally, he could go, and there it was. And I had the next thing waiting for him. Why? Because I knew him. Do you understand where I'm going with prayer? Most of the time, our prayers don't get answered. It's because we don't know who we're talking to. I'll hear people say, would you just throw up a prayer for me? I'm like, throw up a prayer? Who are we praying to? Throw up a prayer. It's kind of like, okay, I've talked to all my friends, and we've lit some candles, and we've burned some incense, and I've talked to some people in some other religions, and you know what? I found out that you're a preacher. I think I'd like for you to pray too, just in case. That ain't prayer, folks. Prayer is this relationship that says, I know what to ask for. And so I get what I want most of the time because I already know what he wants. I hope that y'all are following me. Because this is critical to prayer being answered. And then in likewise, there's this funny thing that goes along with this. I was just thinking about this morning. He can ask of me, and I guarantee you about 90% of the time, he's going to get what he wants. Yeah? Because he knows my heart for him. Now think about that in God and you. That about 90% of the time, God knows that he can get whatever he needs done if he just calls your name. If he says, you know what, I got an assignment, and I know I got some people down there, they don't have a clue about me. They don't know about me, and they don't know about my kingdom, and I can't trust them with anything. So I'm not even going to ask them because they're not even listening. But what I will do is I will go over here, and I'll get Jeff because you know what? Jeff loves me, and Jeff spends time with me. And if I need something done, I can talk to Jeff. And Jeff will get it done. Do you see that relationship? That's the kind of relationship that we're talking. It is not this thing where I just bounce prayers off ceilings and try to get what I want. It is not about that. This thing is I have developed such a relationship that I know what to ask for and I know what not to ask for. And so when I ask, I get it because I know who I'm asking. I enjoyed preaching that part. I really did. Because that's the heart of God for you. And if you will get to know his heart, you will find that your prayers are not nearly as haphazard as they have been. And then this last thing that I've got to bring up. Can our character handle the favor of God? Can your character handle the favor of God? Can you handle when God begins to answer prayers in your life? There are superstars. We've seen them recently. They spent their whole life wanting to be superstars, wanting to make it big. But then when they made it big, what happened? They did not have the character. They didn't have what it took in order to stand the pressure of being a superstar. There is a pressure, a responsibility about being someone who others can count on to hear and know God and to begin to pray. There is something about that. When you begin to pray and God begins to answer your prayers, people begin to notice that you have a relationship. It's just one of those things that I even know around here, the folks that people will go to. And why do they go? Because people want to get their prayers answered, right? And so you want to go somewhere where you can get your prayers answered. And you typically will go to people that you trust, that you know, have a relationship with God. I do the very same thing. If I need somebody to pray for me, I want to go with somebody that I know knows the heart of God. And so there is this responsibility that comes with the favor of God. Because we're building a kingdom. Did you know that? You're building right now. You've been building your entire life a kingdom. Now, it might be your own, or it might be the kingdom of God. But one of the greatest ways to tell which kingdom you're building is to just come become successful. And as you become successful, and as things begin to move in your life, you'll begin to see what kingdom you're actually building. And that's why it is so important that Jesus prayed, "Your kingdom come, not mine. Your kingdom come, your will be done." And so I don't preach a lot on character because here's the thing. Character has nothing to do with salvation. Did you know that? In fact, it's the ones whose character is broken, whose things are just, their life is all out of sorts. That's the one that Jesus says, come on. Come on over here to me. I've been waiting for you. Come on home. He's been wanting those. Character has nothing to do with salvation. Character doesn't have anything to do with the love of God. Do you love your bad kids any less or more than you love your good ones? Huh? Do you? You got one, they've had a great day, right? Y'all know, parents, we all know. You've had one, and they've just been doing great that day. And then you got another one, you don't know what happened. You can't explain it. But if we could get you to step back just a moment to where we could peel your hands off of the bad one's throat, you know, and we'd say, now really, which one do you love the most? You would go, I love them both the same. I love them all as much as I can love them. So character has nothing to do with salvation. Character has nothing to do with the love of God. That's why I never preach them like that. But I will tell you this, character comes back into the relationship. When you start walking with God, your character becomes important because you will eat the fruit of your own ministry. I could put y'all in a three-piece suit, and I could send y'all out somewhere in the Midwest, just get you past the Mississippi where no one knew you. We'd give you about six sermons to preach. You get up on Sunday morning in your three-piece suit. You preach those messages, and I bet a lot of people would walk out there going, man, that person is great. And then you come back home, put that three-piece suit on. Go on. Go on, put it on. And go on, preach. Go on and preach. You know the hardest thing about preaching for me is not the actual messages, it's the 7 days in between. Is that I can live the kind of life that somebody feels like is worth listening to. Because around here in Chester, you got to eat the fruit of your own ministry. Everybody knows us. Everybody knows where you grew up. If you weren't born here, God bless you, but we'll know you soon enough. So it don't matter. So go and put your three-piece suit on. But we're going to eat the fruit of our character and our ministry, and it is going to affect the way we do ministry. Now, somebody say, okay, I got to give up right there. There's no hope for me. And I would say, no, no, no. It is the same thing again. What we have to do is we have to be honest and say, you know what? I have not been great. I have a past, but God is redeemed. He has redeemed me from my past, and He is redeeming me right now. And so all I can tell you is that I am here. I'm not where I used to be, and I'm not where I'm going to be. But I am right here. And people can understand that. And I look out at some of y'all now, and y'all just bless my heart. Because that's where you are. You're not where you used to be. You're not where you're going to be. You're somewhere in here. And so that can speak volumes to people, because it's incredible when people say, you know what? I know how they used to be. I know who they used to run around with. I know what they used to do. That boy's changed. That girl is different. It's this incredible thing, and it speaks volumes. That's where character comes back into this thing, is that we have to eat the fruit of our own ministry, and our character has to support it. So I want to close in this way. When we begin to imagine getting all our prayers answered yes, we usually begin to find out why we don't get all of our prayers answered yes. Can I say that one more time? I think we're supposed to walk away with that one. Okay? The reason that when we begin to imagine getting all of our prayers answered yes, if we'll go down that road and allow ourselves to see that picture, we will begin to understand why we don't get all our prayers answered. Now, we don't get stuck there, though, because this is not a ministry built on, digging up dirt and waddling in mud. This is a place where just as quick as we can, we're going to grab you up out of the mud, we're going to wash you off, and we're going to hang you up to dry, and then we're going to say, now get after it. So, here's what I'm doing. I'm about ready to pick you up and wash you off, and then you're going to get after it, okay? We have got to understand what good gifts are. And the only way you can understand what good gifts are is, he tells us right here. Most of the time we don't know because we've not spent enough time here. And I want you to develop a love for this, because this not only tells you what is good and what is right, but it's how we get to know the Father too. It lets us know who He is. And I want this thing to become precious to you. In fact, I'm going to pray. Can I pray that over you right now? Father, I just pray in Jesus' name that if somebody didn't understand what this book was for before today, and if they thought it was dull and they thought it was boring and that it was out of date and it wasn't relevant, that today they understand that understanding what is good is found in here, and understanding what is right is found in here, and understanding your heart is in here. And then I also pray for the Holy Spirit that is in each person. That if we have received Jesus Christ, you have the Spirit of God. I'm going to talk to you for just a minute. You have the Spirit of God in you. Now, it may not be full. It may be down in there somewhere. But you have it, because He's the one that led you to salvation. And it is the Spirit of God coming in all of His fullness that reveals the heart of God as well. So it's this two-part deal. I got the Word of God. I've got the Spirit of God. And then I've got this Christian community that helps me to understand what is good, to understand the heart of the Father, the heart of the kingdom. And then also, I am working on this character thing too. Is that God, in faith, we want to believe that you're going to do great things here. God, I believe you are. I look out at these folks, and I know that you have good things for them. And so, my desire now is that because you're going to do good things, we would take a moment to look at our character and look at our integrity, look at where we get our self-esteem and self-worth from, that we would look at where our identity comes from, and we'd let you shore up those places that maybe right now aren't so sure. And Father, that it's a continual work, and so we're continuing to grow in it, but let us continue to grow in it. Let's don't let us just put it off to the side somewhere and say that it's not important, because it is. And then, Father, as we begin to see more and more, our prayers just begin to get answered because our heart is lining up with you. What a beautiful thing, God. Let it be, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. If you are listening to this sermon series and would like to have someone pray for you, or you'd like to ask some questions, or you just need someone to talk to, please feel free to give us a call at 803-581-2070. Thank you.